Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the top of the hour, 3 o'clock, well, you're hearing the live program, and we would love for you to be a part of it. That toll-free number, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the grace of God this week.
That's and, a good subject.
Yes, it is a good subject. I wrote about that in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. If we're going to have a connection with God, grace is the only way for that to be possible.
Yeah.
We cannot know God. We cannot be in relationship with God. We cannot understand what God's all about apart from His grace. There is just no other way. There's no other way by which we can be saved. It is by grace we are saved through faith, period, end of story.
Yeah.
And yet we don't buy into that. Why? Because we're prideful. We're prideful people. We want to add to the equation. We want to be a part of it. We want God to do His part, and we want to do our part. And whenever we think we have a part in it, then all of our focus, all of our attention, everything is on our part. What are we supposed to do? And when we're looking at what we're supposed to do, we miss what Christ has done for us. So we have to realize that our condition was so bad, I mean, so drastic, that there was no way for us to be saved apart from God doing something on our behalf. And that's called grace. God's unmerited favor for us extended to us in the person of Christ Jesus. Now, Martin Luther rediscovered that 500 years ago. He realized after going into the Word of God that it's by grace that he's saved. And so that became a part of this great Protestant Reformation that we celebrate the 500th anniversary of. But that was not a new discovery. That was just rediscovering something that had been covered over by hundreds of years of church tradition and human teaching and all of those sort of things. Paul understood it very clearly, and that's why he said this when he met with the leaders at Ephesus, one of the last meetings or the last meeting he ever had with this group of leaders. It's very personal, very touching. And he said this to these folks. He said, however, and he's going to Jerusalem, they know that it's a dangerous proposition for him. There's all kinds of trouble waiting. And so they don't want Paul to go, and Paul's not that interested in going. But he understands his task. He understands his purpose. He understands why God has put him on the planet. And so he expressed that to these people. And this is what he said. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. So that's a good goal. God has given him a task. God has put him in a race. He says, I want to finish that race. I want to complete the task. Well, Paul, what is that task? What is that race? And this is what he said. It's the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. That was Paul's sole mission in life. He wasn't out to change the culture. He wasn't out to change the political system of the day. He wasn't out to right all the injustices of the world. He was simply there to speak directly to human hearts. And that's what the grace of God does. It does. You know, there are so many problems out there in the world. I mean, there are just too many to even list. And I wish that we could wave a magic wand and fix every single one of them. But still, there would be a problem that wouldn't be fixed. And that's the problem of man. The core issue of all of mankind, that we're separated from God and we desperately want to be right with God. Yeah. Well, grace is the only message that fixes that problem. Yeah. Grace is the only message that can reach into the human heart and change it and to make it new so that it is fit for a relationship with God and it can be at rest knowing that it is right in God's favor. That's why Paul focused his entire life, his entire mission on testifying to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I just wish and pray that more people were like Paul. We live in an age today where the church is trying to fix every ill known to man. We're trying to heal everybody physically. We're trying to get everybody rich. We're trying to make sure that they experience absolutely no trouble or suffer absolutely none in life. We're trying to eradicate all of that. And when we do that, we start relying on the solutions of the world. You know, with this shooting in Las Vegas, immediately, instead of recognizing the human tragedy and having hearts just hurting for people, lost lives and families who lost life, we start a battle over laws. Mm-hmm. Should we regulate guns or not? You know why we do that? Because that's human thinking. Yeah. That's all we know to do is to bring laws into existence, thinking that's going to be the solution.
Yeah.
Man, that's not the solution. The solution is Jesus. The solution is the grace of God. The grace of God that transforms, that makes us new, that makes us alive in Jesus Christ. So if we're trying to fix the problems of the world, all of those huge, monstrous problems, we're going to start going down that slippery slope of legalism. We're going to try to introduce rules and regulations to try to stop those activities. And we'll miss what God has called us to, and that's testifying to the grace of our Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
May God raise up more Pauls in this day and age that will stick to the plan of God, which is the grace of God expressed to us in the person of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. The only cure for the human heart.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And Richard, as you well know, and our listeners probably know as well, that you and Bob Christopher collaborated on the new DVD series that we have called The Redemption Project. And actually, there are two components to this. First, of course, is the need for supporting the ministry. We are a listener-supported ministry, and we need the help of our listener friends to keep the message going. And I think as you listen day by day, you understand the gravity of the situations that we face almost daily in our lives, and the only solution, as Bob was saying, is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need your help to keep the message going. Now, for those of you who are able to help with a gift this month, we have this very, very special DVD series called The Reformation Project. Richard, as a part of that, give us an idea of what it's about and how it can benefit our listeners.
Well, out of the Reformation, I mean, they didn't plan it this way, but it came out this way. There turned out to be five key focus areas in the Reformation. The first was Scripture alone. Are we going to take human ideas over Scripture or along with Scripture or some mix, or are we going to start and end with the Bible as our only rule of faith and practice? The Reformers came down on the side of the Bible alone.
Right.
Well, that leads you to several other things. If it's the Bible, who is the Bible about? Well, the Bible is about Jesus, and so Jesus alone. Well, then you begin to understand who Jesus is, and you get by grace alone and through faith alone.
Yeah.
And as soon as you start getting a picture of this reality, you realize this is God's plan from the beginning, and it's to His glory alone that all of this takes place. And so Bob and I split up these five key focus areas and did little sermons, little sermonettes, little teachings on those five areas. And I honestly think if you will get this DVD, it can be life-changing for you. Not because we're the end-all, be-all answerers of such questions, but because it gives us a chance and gives you a chance to focus on these five areas in a way that you probably haven't focused before.
Yeah.
And when you let these truths sink in, you turn out to be a Paul that Bob was just asking about.
Yeah.
That you're going to stand up and say, there is nothing else in life that's worth covering other than the grace of God expressed in Jesus Christ, explained in the Bible, and accepted by faith.
Absolutely. Well, Richard, of course, we want to let our listeners know that the Reformation Project is available for your gift in October, and you can make your gift by clicking donate at basicgospel.net, or you can call your gift to 844-322-2742. That number available 24 hours daily, 844-322-2742. Again, it's the Reformation Project. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us. If you have something you'd like to add to the program, and it's the first half of the 3 o'clock hour, as you're hearing Central Time, of course, give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go and talk to our good friend Ryan up in Canada. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too.
Yeah, my question, kind of two parts. I was searching audiobooks, which I've talked about before. That's the only way I'm able to read. Searching audiobooks that had the word grace in it. And, you know, I came across some interesting ones, but one that kind of troubled me, and I wanted to just bring it to your and the listeners' attention as well, and it was called Hyper Grace, The Dangerous Doctrine of a Happy God. I figured you'd have something to say about that in regards to the grace that's taught on Basic Gospel and the true nature of it. And also God's mood.
I cannot imagine that Bob would have anything to say about that.
Well, I
got nothing.
I assume, Ryan, you're speaking about the book by Dr. Michael Brown.
This was by a D.R. Silva.
Oh. Okay. Well, I'm not familiar with that particular work. There's always been critics of this idea of grace. There were critics back in Paul's day. That's why he wrote a lot of the letters that he wrote, and he asked very important questions in Romans 6, for example, and in Romans 7. Are you saying that we should just go out and sin so that grace will abound? Are you saying that the law is sin? Are you saying, and all of that was a reaction to the grace of God, the teaching of the grace of God, that it's only through the grace of God that we can be saved. That does damage to our pride. That does damage to our human psyche to think that we can't add anything to this equation of salvation, that we can only be recipients. And that's why the Bible says on several occasions that God gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. A proud heart does not want to receive. A proud heart wants to earn, but grace is not something that can be worked for. Grace is only something that can be received in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So there are critics. There have been critics for 2,000 years. I don't understand that. I don't know why anyone would criticize the grace of God. Why anyone would
call this hyper grace, the dangerous doctrine of a happy God.
Yeah. Well, it's their take, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of teachers out there that I think would make grace something that it's not, as revealed to us in the Word of God. It's just a means for a happy and wealthy and healthy life. There's some people that take grace and kind of fashion it into a suit. To put over kind of a prosperity gospel. There is some reaction against that. But when you look at the grace of God as revealed to us in the Word of God, you realize that it is the only way of salvation, to be released from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, our problem is that we were bound by sin, and we were dead spiritually. Now, how are we going to fix that? What can we bring to the table? What can we add to change that condition? If I am going to be released from the power of sin and I am going to be given life, God is going to have to do that. And it is all on His shoulders, nothing on ours. And so when we recognize that true condition, what our real problem is, then the grace of God becomes incredibly precious to us. And that's when we can sing with our hearts, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And yeah.
And what about the mood of God? Because in this it says the dangerous doctrine of a happy God. And I thought God was pleased and satisfied, and, you know, that all had been taken care of with the death of Jesus Christ.
Well, he loves us, and that disposition has never changed. You know, there's a lot of folks that say, well, he was an angry God, and then he sent Christ, and Christ shed his blood, offered that sacrifice, and it turned God's anger into happiness toward us, or love toward us, and that God can love us now because of the work of Christ. Well, that's not the way the Bible spells it out. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. So it was his love that motivated him to send Jesus at the beginning. That never changed. So, you know, again, you know, we don't see in the Bible that God's a happy, you know, we don't, you know, that we see him as a holy God. We see him as who he is. God is love, and that he has made that love known to us in the person of Christ Jesus. And when we receive Christ and recognize our need and receive Christ, you know, God is pleased. Why? Because he sent Jesus so that we might have life. And it pleases God when we receive life.
Yeah.
And that's by faith. Yeah.
I think the assertion of the person that Ryan is talking about reminds me of something that I've had a conviction about in my own life for many, many years, and that is, you know, the thought that legalism breeds that very, very repulsive thought that somewhere someone might be living a happy life.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right, and that makes us mad.
Yeah, because it's not me.
Yeah, yeah. So, Ryan,
it's... This author must be furious.
Yeah, so, we hear all the time, it's like, well, yeah, we're saved by grace, but what about human responsibility? What about human responsibility? We need to be, you know, once we're saved, we need to be living lives that are pleasing to God. And if we're not, we're going to tick him off, and things aren't going to work out so well for us. And so folks start trying to live pleasing lives, and they go back to human effort. We're going to do this on our own. We're going to, you know, God's done his part, and I'm so grateful for that. But by golly, I'm going to go do my part now. I mean, you know, I have to. And we miss the whole point that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus. This Christian life is by grace through faith in Jesus. That's the life that he's called us to, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we think, well, if we buy into that, then we're going to become a little bit too cavalier. We're not going to take our life in Christ seriously. We're going to, you know, become complacent and all of this nonsense. But we have to realize if the grace of God was powerful enough to cross us over from death to life, it's powerful enough to produce the fruit of God's life in and through us as we walk by faith in him.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, I decided against that book, so.
smart yeah. Thinking, Ryan.
Really.
You've got some discernment there. God's love never changes. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. He is pleased with us because we're children of God. We've received the Son. We're always in his grace. We live in his grace. We're surrounded by his grace. We're infused by his grace. It is starting to course through every area of our lives. We are never outside of the favor of God. We're never disconnected from the love of God. That's just truth. And it's the grace of God that made that possible.
Yeah.
So let's rejoice in that. That's life transforming. That will change the world, I guarantee you. It may not change the nature of the world, but boy, as it reaches out and touches individual lives, things start to happen. And every time there has been a significant change in the world, like the disciples, it was said of them that they turned the world upside down. Why did that happen? Because there was a breakout of the gospel.
Yes.
There was a setting free, a loosening of this gospel out in the world. That gospel started touching lives. Why is the Protestant Reformation such a incredible period of human history? Why? Because the gospel was set free, and the gospel started changing people, and it reformed a church, and it broke out a whole new movement of God that's had ripple effects all the way down to this present age. So every time that the gospel has been set free to go out into the world, boy, things have happened. Let's set it free. Let's proclaim the grace of God and see what the grace of God does.
Yeah.
Don't think we have to worry.
Yeah. Brian, good to hear from you as always, friend.
Good to hear from you guys.
Glad you're doing well. We watch you on Facebook and pray for you every day, my friend.
Oh, I appreciate that. God bless you guys and your ministry.
Hey, thanks, Ryan. You Bye-bye. Too. Let's go to Denver and talk to Vicki listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Vicki.
Hello. I have a couple of questions for you. I had a chance to have a discussion with a young woman this weekend that is not churched at all, and she had some questions. We were talking about good and evil as a result of the shooting in Las Vegas, and I was talking to her about the creation and the tree of good and knowledge and when evil came into the world. And so she had a couple of questions. I'm not sure I answered thoroughly, or now I'm thinking I'm not sure I even answered them accurately. Why did God create the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And if he created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she said, then he created evil, right? And I'm not sure I answered her.
Well, Vicki, evil is not something that was created. Evil is something that was derived. So if there's good, then there's a perversion of good. And that perversion of good is evil. Well, Satan manifested that. He inhabited that when he decided that he wanted to be like God, that he wanted to kick God off of his throne. He wanted to take God's place. And so a created being was trying to usurp the authority of God. And so the goodness that God created Satan to be was perverted in that attitude. And so
does that mean that Satan had free will, that angels were created with free will?
Well, it simply means that that's the story that is revealed to us in Isaiah chapter 14, for example. So
okay.
So take that down. So there's the spiritual forces of darkness, and certainly Satan is the head force in that dark world. Well, God has created his most special creation with mankind. We're to bear his image. And Satan is thinking, well, if they're to bear the image of God, I'm going to do something against mankind. So I think God set the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden as a protection against Adam and Eve. Here's this dark force that's there, and he's going to come and make his presence known in this garden. And I want to prohibit you from going that same path. So I've put this tree there as a protection. But if you take a bite of it, then you're going to know good from evil, and the whole trajectory of your life is going to change. So I think it was a protection for Adam and Eve, but Satan lured them, deceived them, they ate, death came. So what they chose was death. They didn't choose good for evil. Satan just disguised death in a different way.
Vicki, thank you so much for calling. We're really out of time. Hope you'll keep listening and call again. And for everyone else, we'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.